Hey everybody, this is Alex with the Detail Solutions Podcast. We're going to do something a little bit different this week. I had a guest that I had lined up and just things didn't work out. And instead of scrambling for next week's guest to try and move them up early and I don't have questions for that person, I'm trying something different. This is something that is going to happen. I don't know how often it'll happen, but we're going to start doing this. It's called What's on Your Mind? So I grabbed Jason Bruno because he's my guinea pig and sit down with Jason and talk about what's on our minds. I think this is going to be something to bring back past guests that have expressed interest in wanting to be on the podcast again, but I don't want to stop the what the podcast is as far as reaching out and talking to people, meeting people, getting to know people. And I think this might be another way for me to get that big name detail celebrity on the podcast to talk with them again without not breaking up what the podcast has been so far and what I want it to be. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Jason and I had a fun time doing it. And I will put a little disclaimer out there that we are not talking about any specific people in general. We are speaking about detailers in the industry as a whole, things that upset us or we don't understand. If you feel like you are being talked about, you're not, man, sadly, or, you know, you've got an ego problem or something like that. So take a listen. If you guys enjoy it, please let me know. We'll do it again. If you guys don't like it, then it was all Jason's fault. He made me do it. Send all hate emails to him. But I think I'm going to do it again. I had a lot of fun. So take a listen. Let me know what you guys think. Thank you.
All right. We're doing something different this week. We're going to do something called What's on Your Mind. So again, I've grabbed Jason Bruno because he's my guinea pig. If you guys don't like this, it's Jason's fault and we won't do any more of them. So Jason, what's on your mind?
There's quite a few things, but first I just want to say, man, congratulations on your podcast. Cause I know you're going on, this is season two and me that I had a detailist tell me that he's like, man, I really enjoy Alex's podcast and I listened to the to yours and his episode and it was just great, man. I just wanted to tell you you did a good job. And you know, for me to hear that as a guest was pretty cool, but yeah. I wanted to let you know as a host that, you know, you're doing a great job, man.
Well, thanks, man. I do appreciate that. I don't get a ton of feedback, but the feedback that I have heard from people is that they are enjoying it. They are looking forward to it every week. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's awesome. And again, I mean, I'll kind of keep doing this until I get bored of it or people get bored of me. So, but another reason why I wanted to kind of do this was, for the people, some people don't know, I was the inaugural guest on the Pints and Polishing podcast/Paint Assassin Hour. Mm-hmm. And I know you had a bunch of questions that you wanted to get to, but we kind of didn't. So that was kind of another reason I figured we'll do this What's on Your Mind kind of deal. And for people to kind of understand it, it's just going to be what's on your mind. There's no real
open discussion.
Yeah, open discussion. We're just going to kind of talk. It's just you know, a way for me to have a filler episode here and there. So yeah, man, we can talk about whatever's on your mind, or we can talk about those questions, or that could be it, and it'll be a 5-minute episode, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we can dive into a few things. I mean, there's a couple things that I do want to like talk about, you know, that seem to be kind of going on in the industry. And I don't want to say like everybody does it, but there's a few select detailers that, you know, have done a few things. And I mean, I can say I've done some of these things of myself as well. So I mean, I'm not going to disclude myself, but one of the things I do want to say is that, if you're a detailer and, or a business owner, whatever have you, and you have all these ideas in your head, I would say keep them to yourself, or share them with people that you truly trust, and you know they won't take your ideas or try to spin it into their own little thing.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that there's people out there who don't do that already. I'm pretty sure there's quite a few who don't, you know, be as loud as they should be. Some people, you know, it's cool to see how people will say where they're going with their business and everything like that. But if it's a specific idea, yeah, keep that to yourself, because in the long run, you don't want to spill that to somebody else and have them take your idea. And then once you get to that idea, because then you still want to do it, it's going to look like you copied somebody else. And then, you know, sometimes there could be backlash on that and sometimes there won't, but you know, my advice is to just keep some of that important information to yourself.
Right.
So,
and now just so everybody knows, you're not talking about like tips and tricks and techniques and stuff like that. No, you're talking about if you've got an idea for your business, you want to move your business forward in a certain way that maybe is different than everybody else, or maybe not everybody's doing, you don't want to kind of share that with a bunch of people that could then maybe take that from you.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I always tell details they got to share some tips and tricks. That's the only way we can all grow, man. That's how we all learn too.
Listen, man. So, and I've been a proponent since as long as I've been on, anybody's asked me, you know, it's not hard to go up and forth or up and down and back and forth, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no shit, right? No
you know, I mean, I know there's a science to it, but listen, I go, you know, up and down and back and forth until it's shiny, and then that's it. I'm done.
right. So, let me look at my little question list. I have this whole list.
Yeah, because I have nothing. This is strictly.
Oh yeah, this is off the rip.
Yeah. Like, again, people are either going to love this or they're going to hate it. They're going to be like, dude, go back to your questions.
So I know you didn't even answer this question, but you're going to answer it. You're going to answer it. I need your answer because I need to know. All right. Want to know what the difference between a paint enhancement and a paint correction is to Alex Russell.
Okay. So, I see everybody's sides of it. Right. So there's the people that are like, paint enhancement is not paint correction. Paint correction is not paint enhancement or whatever. So paint enhancement usually refers to like your one steps, your hyper polishes, your hyper whatever, speed polishes, you know, something you're just not going to remove all the defects. You're just, you know, trying to get it looking good and whatever. That's usually what paint enhancement refers to. Paint correction is where we're correcting paint. We're correcting it to the best of our ability, whether that's the detailer who, like you referred to me the other night, that thinks they know what they're doing paint correction wise back in the beginning versus what I kind of do now. And that's, you know, the person that's either doing 65, 75, 85%, 95%, 99%, whatever. But at the same time, I mean, wording's wording. I mean, if you're correcting paint, technically you are enhancing it. I know that's really not the answer you probably want to hear, but you know, that's how I feel about it. But usually rule of thumb is paint enhancement is usually the lesser service, the quick service, the one step service, whatever kind of deal.
That's so here's the way I look at it. When I think of paint enhancement, I think of somebody making something look better, you know, and I understand
right, you're enhancing it.
Right. And you're saying, well, you know, when you do a pain correction, you make things look better too. You do, but you're also fixing it to make it look better.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really fixing anything when you're doing an enhancement. And I put that in quotations. You just, you know, you're covering, you're not really taking anything out. You might, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30% of defects, depending on what you use. But I mean, when you're doing a one-step pain correction, right? Everybody, it's a quick process. Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. It is a lot quicker than doing a two-step, or I'll just say multi-step. I don't even want to get into 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever have you, right?
Exactly.
Multi-step. But doing a one-step still takes time. It still takes you to, you can't rush through a one-step, right? You got to take your time. You're going to at least get 50% of defects out with a one-step. Now, when you go to a paint enhancement, that's just a quick run over with a polisher and polish. Like, hey, we're just going to do this quick, make the paint shiny and pop. Cool.
Right.
So that was my take on paint enhancement. I just wanted you to answer it because you didn't answer it for me two nights ago.
The one thing I will kind of admit to is, and I don't know if it's just I'm not paying attention to the right people, or maybe if everybody has seemed to get a little bit better with their verbiage, is you don't notice too many people, you know, using pain enhancement as terminology as much anymore. At least I don't. I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I haven't really seen it much either. But when I do, it kind of makes me cringe a little, because it's like, I did a two-step enhancement, and I'm like, dude, you just mixed that all up together. It doesn't even sound right. You sound ignorant.
right. No, like, exactly.
What are you explaining to your customer?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to dog on people. I just want people to actually know what they're saying.
Right.
You got to understand what you're saying to sell a job. You got to understand what you're saying to make your customer feel better about them bringing their car to you. You need to know what you're saying, because you need to know what you're doing.
Right.
And that's all it is. It's not a dog on anything or anyone.
Right. And again, we're not car wash detailers, right? Like we spoke about the other night, you know, you know, the car wash, it's a buff and wax, you know, let me get a buff and wax, you know, that's the exterior detail. You know, we're not doing buff and wax, and we're not charging car wash buff and wax money. So I think you're right. You know, if you're going to sell the product to your client and you're expecting them to pay, if it's $200, $300, $500, $700,000, $1,200, whatever, if they're going to pay that, you have to act like you know what you're talking about, and you have to have the right terminology and the right wording. Because the one thing that I've noticed with clients that are coming for corrections and coatings is usually they've done a little bit of due diligence. Like they know what the process involves. They're not just, all right, well, hey, here's my open checkbook and, you know, you just do what you do. They ask questions. They're a little bit educated with it. So if you're not using the right terminology that maybe they've read online somewhere, you're going to lose that job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So another thing that I see a lot too is detailers and branding. Now I see detailers out there. Again, this is not a knock, but I see a lot of detailers out there who will have trucks wrapped in other companies' logos, and they'll have their logo tiny, like in the back or something like that. I'm like, I really don't understand that. I don't understand why detailers would promote another company over their own. Like, it's their job to promote themselves. You know, you would want your vehicle to have a rolling billboard of yourself rather than somebody else. And I mean, I'm a brand owner myself. And when I've had a detail last week. He was like, hey, man, I would really like to put my logo on your shirt. I asked him why. I said, why do you want to do that? I said, where do you want to put it? He goes, I just want to put it like, you know, your little logo, like on maybe my sleeve or the back of my shirt. I said, okay, why? And they respond with, you know, I really love what your brand is about. I like what you represent. I like what the brand represents. And I like that. I respect that. I will give them okay. Like, okay, you can put it on your shirt, but don't make it bigger than your logo. This is right. This is your company shirt. Your logo needs to come first. So, I mean, it's very humbling and it's very awesome to hear that.
Yeah.
But when you go over that and you're like, you got a company's banner, like outside of your shop, over your overhead doors, instead of your own name, I need to understand why they want to do that instead of putting right. a banner above their shop door with their own name so they know who they're going to see. I mean, these companies just give you products to do the job, you know, which is give. Fine.
Give.
They provide. They
thank
provide.
You. Thank you.
They provide. And I just don't understand why. I mean, maybe you could help me understand.
Well, I mean,
I know you didn't do that. Like, all right, you have a big banner of mine in my in your shop.
Right.
Like, it's humongous. Yeah. It takes up like your whole wall.
Yeah.
And I did that on purpose as like a little joke, you know? But, right, you know. But
so here's the way that I look at that, right? Because again, I was kind of very similar to that maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or whatever. Before I started talking to some people who, you know, and this is a topic that, listen, you're not the first person to bring it up. You know, I mean, I've heard plenty of people, you know, say the same thing you're saying. Sell you, not the company you provide, you know,
exactly.
Or you use a service or a chemical or product of or whatever. When I first started doing it, I thought by using a company's logo or mentioning a company's product would make me look better in a way or bring some kind of recognition, you know, like that the guy driving down the road is going to drive by and see my banner with a logo on it of a product I use and like slam on the brakes and turn in real quick. It doesn't, but you know, like I didn't know that in the beginning. So, and that's where I've kind of taken a lot of that branding down from my banners or my business cards or my shirts. Now, yes, I do have your big giant banner in my shop, but to me, that's a little bit different because that's me giving support to a really good friend. That's me giving support to a brand that I feel passionate about. And to me, that brand isn't just whatever product that's being sold for $10 or $200 or whatever. That brand is a family. It's a group. So for me, it's not necessarily about trying to promote the brand. It's showing the recognition for a group of people or a family that I'm a part of. You know, it's the same as, you know, I guess, you know, similar to what you guys, you know, and who are military or vets or whatever, you know, you guys have, you know, the license plates, or you guys have the stickers on your windows, or you guys have the clothing, stuff like that. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, you guys aren't, you know, really promoting, you know, whatever branch you served in, you're promoting that brotherhood. And to me, that's what having that Pain Assassins banner in my shop means. That's what me wearing a Pain Assassins t-shirt every day is it's me just trying to promote my extended brotherhood, sisterhood, family of, you know, Pain Assassins.
And here's the thing too. It's funny that you just brought that up to wear like a shirt, like every day. I know for a fact that you have your own business shirts with your own business logo on them, and that you only wear them when you come into contact with clients.
Yes.
And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, because I don't want to wear a polo all day long when I'm by myself correcting pain. I want to be in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you know, you make really good t-shirts. There's been t-shirts you've made for me. You know, my ideas that I've kind of given to you and you've made them specifically for me. Kind of shout out to $100 pain enhancement shirt. But yeah, man, I mean, I want to be comfortable when I'm working, you know, and whether it's wearing, you know, and again, I'd rather wear a Pain Assassin shirt because, you know, again, it's just me kind of showing off what I do, what interests me. You know, it's the same as the sports guy that's just going to wear, you know, basketball jerseys all day long because that's what he's comfortable in, or, you know, t-shirts with the football logo on it, you know, for whatever.
Well, let's be real. When you wear that Pain Assassin shirt, you feel like a superhero, don't you?
A little bit.
It gives you paint correction powers.
It does. It does.
So if you're listening to this podcast, buy my shirts because it gave you paint correction powers, all right? You will be better than Aaron Knox.
You too can be better than Aaron Knox if you wear a Pain Assassin.
That's going to be on a new shirt.
There you go. I'm sure he'll love it.
Oh, I know he will. He'll probably want one too, so he can be better than himself.
Yeah, right. he needs one that says he's better than Alex Russell.
Oh man! All right, let's see what other questions I got. I'm flipping back and forth. All right, here's a good question, man.
Okay.
What are some of the mistakes you've made? Let's just say while detailing, it doesn't matter if it's paint correction or not. And how did you correct them?
Oh, man. So, knock on wood, I haven't made too many mistakes.
It can be minor, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a super careful person when I do stuff. But again, I have. Very fortunate for me, I was able to correct said mistakes without any problems or without even having to mention to the client. Mm-hmm. So a couple of examples. One was, probably like 2 years ago, I was doing a Rover. I was doing the black piano pieces on the back of the Rover, and and something broke in my Rupes machine, and it like reverse torqued on itself and just completely burned the paint in a circle. Thankfully at the time, so this was a Monday. Thankfully at the time, my buddy who does spot, spray stuff for the dealerships, was at the Audi dealership right up the road from my shop on Tuesdays. So I was able to that panel just kind of slides and clips in. I was able to just pop it out. I took it to him Tuesday morning, finished doing the vehicle. And he had it sanded down and painted and back to me Tuesday night or afternoon. I had it coated and gave it back to the customer on Thursday or Friday.
And like nothing happened.
Cost me $50 to have it done. So it wasn't a big, you know, ouch kind of deal. One of the other ones I had was I was doing wheels off in an Audi R8. The rear wheels are kind of deeper inset or offset. And when I was trying to break the lug loose with the breaker bar, wasn't paying attention to where my breaker bar was. And I just nicked part of the spoke, the arm or the spoke or whatever, where it kind of comes out and bends around. Got on the phone with the guy that has the wheel repair shop here in town. He came by, grabbed it, took it home, brought it back to me the next day. Cost me $125 to have it fixed. So those are just a couple of issues that I've had. Again, thankfully they've been real small, real minor. I've never had, you know, anything crazy big, at least me personally. I mean, running car washes for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to call some customers and as a manager and replace some panel, you know, some pieces or get some panels repainted or things like that. But yeah, man, I mean, typically the way that I handle it is if it's something that I can fix and have it done, there's no need to upset the customer. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody to call me and be like, "Hey, Alex, you know, I got this little tiny nick on your wheel, but I'll get it fixed for you. It'll be done tomorrow. Like, I'd rather you just not tell me about it, because I don't want to start freaking out about it, you know?
Right, and then you might not even return back after that.
Right, right, you know? So little things like that, you know, that's kind of my mentality is, let's just fix it. Let's, you know, as long as it's good, then let's not say anything. If we do need to say something, then obviously I'll say something. I've dealt with it, you know, 20 plus years managerial experience with a car wash. It's not going to be my first trip or my first time telling a client that there's damage to their vehicle. You know, I mean, you just suck it up, you offer to pay for it, you know, hopefully it's not something too big that, you know, you're taking a huge hit on it. Of course you might lose whatever profitability you have in that vehicle, but again, you know, it's better to do it, be upfront with the customer, be sincere about it, because I found that, especially in my experience with the car wash, is, you know, when you are upfront with people and you tell them like, hey, look, we broke this or whatever, I've got a new one ordered for you, it'll be here, you know, tomorrow, the next day, we'll get it fixed, that client will keep coming back over and over again because they know that you weren't trying to do anything shady. But I have seen some people that, you know, have tried to do shady stuff, you know, and just because they don't want to have to pay for it, it might be a big damage or something like that. So one car wash I worked at, one of the detailers was backing a car out of the bay and scraped the side of the lady's fender down the concrete wall. And the manager went and got the lady and escorted her straight to the driver's side, put her in the car and sent her on her way. And then when she came back was like, well, I mean, it wasn't like that when you left. I don't know what happened. It's been 2 days. I don't know what you did. And, you know, so, I mean, there's some shady stuff, man, I've seen, but I'm not going to be that type of person. It ends up coming back on you.
You know? Yeah, man. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in karma, you know. Good old my name is Earl. Do good things and good things will happen to you. So I want to do right.
So let's talk about what to me is a sensitive subject.
Okay.
Okay.
This could be anything.
Die Hard.
Man, we were supposed to do this with Trap.
Listen, we'll do it with Trap too. I like to debate this shit.
That's fine.
So
what do you want to talk about?
Tell me why it's a Christmas movie.
Because it's a Christmas movie.
Why?
Well, because
what makes it a Christmas movie?
It takes place during Christmas.
But okay, what else? You can't just have one thing. Oh, this one thing makes it a Christmas. Let me ask you something. If there's a fucking gun in a movie, does it automatically make it a war movie? No.
No, but it might make it an action movie.
Okay, but that's a specific, you know, thing. It's not a Christmas movie. It's not. It's just because it takes place on Christmas and there's a Christmas party going on.
Why isn't it a Christmas movie then?
Because where's Santa?
I'm sure he was. I'm sure they had
I'm pretty sure he's probably in there too. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, there was definitely Christmas trees in there, or Christmas tree in the.
Yeah, at a Christmas party. Correct. Right. All right. Where's the reindeer?
Listen, man, it's not.
Where's Santa's sleigh?
Where's the Christmas? It's not Home Alone, bro. It's not Home Alone. Home Alone didn't have Santa Claus in it. Home Alone didn't have reindeer in it.
I don't say that's a Christmas story, a Christmas movie.
But it is.
All right, we're sticking to Die Hard. We're not going down this rabbit hole. Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. I don't know. It's a Christmas movie, man. It's always been a Christmas movie.
There's not even a Christmas plot. Like, if you look at Elf with Will Ferrell, that's a Christmas movie because there's a Christmas plot. He comes from the North Pole. He's a grown elf or whatever you want to call it, a giant elf. We'll call him a giant elf trying to find his dad.
Yeah.
It's all Christmassy, you know? they save Christmas because his sleigh got shot down in Central Park.
Right, but that's a Christmas movie. Die Hard is in. Die Hard's in the Christmas category, though.
You can't say, "Oh, it's a Christmas," and put emphasis on the word, and then all of a sudden, like, "Oh, hey, yeah, no, that's not how it works." No, I don't care. You can call me a communist or you know, I'm not American, even though I'm wearing my America shirt. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It may take place on Christmas. There may be a Christmas party going on, but it is an action movie. Just like how you wanted to say, oh, well, you know, if a gun was in it, it could be an action movie.
It's a Christmas movie, man. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna send you a Christmas present, like a with a springboard fuck you in it.
Okay. Just don't send me a glitter. Just don't send me a glitter bomb.
No, I would never do that. I wouldn't even do that to my worst enemy, dude. Yeah, glitter is an abomination to the world.
Yeah.
It is like my anniversary was, what's today's date? The 6th?
Yeah.
Is okay, it? So.
Yeah, I don't know. No, the 5th.
The 5th. Okay, it was 3 days ago. And I'm literally going in the card store looking at cards. And I'm like, all right, this card has too much glitter. That card has too much glitter. I went through like 6 cards before I was like, all right, this card has a minimum amount of glitter. I can deal with that. At least won't get everywhere. It's awful.
So where is an acceptable place for glitter to be in this world?
Nowhere.
Strippers? What the?
Not even. I'd rather see booby tassels.
Booby tassels. No.
Yeah. No. Strippers do not deserve to wear glitter. No.
All right. Absolutely. That's the only place I could ever think of that you would normally see glitter outside of arts and crafts.
You know why glitter doesn't belong on strippers?
Why?
Because fucking glitter is like herpes. It will spread. You come from the strip club to your house, you're getting your ass whooped. You know, if your wife didn't know that you were there, she's gonna.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it'll get you in trouble. Glitter has no place on this earth. Period. Oh shit. All right. So another thing that has been on my mind is people who give themselves titles, as in I'm the best, I'm the greatest, I'm the king.
I'm better than Paradox, those assholes.
that's a funny title. That can stay. But it's the ones that, you know, I look at it, I call it the LeBron James syndrome. And I say that because LeBron James dubbed himself the GOAT.
Right.
He said it on TV. I don't think he's the GOAT. A lot of people think he is, and a lot of people don't. We'll leave that debate for another time. But when you want to, like, people who give themselves that title, I feel like they have some kind of an issue with them.
They have a God complex, so to speak. I mean, that's something like typically, that. And not even in our industry. I mean, just people in general.
Yeah,
that's
why I say people. Better. I didn't say detailers. Right. I said people. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is a detailer podcast, so I figured we were talking about detailers.
It's open discussion, remember?
That's true. That's true.
All right. So we can say people, detailers are people too, Alex.
Detailers are people too. You're right.
So I feel with that, you know, if that title deserves to be given by other people, you know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan never called him the GOAT. We call him the GOAT. Tom Brady never called himself the GOAT. We call him the GOAT.
Right.
I may not call him the GOAT anymore, but, you know, other people do. I just feel like that title deserves to be given by your peers.
Right.
You know, I've never heard.
Well, and here's the other thing, right? So, like, what makes somebody the best, right? Because what might make you the best doesn't have to mean what I think is the best. And what I think is the best, you might be like, how do you think that's the best? You know, we all have a different idea of what the best is, you know?
I mean, it's not like we can go off stats like the NBA or NFL does, you know?
Right, right. Again, we're moving a polisher up and down and back and forth until defects are gone. What about that makes you the best?
I think a lot of people will compare that to having a lot of knowledge. And just because you have a lot of knowledge doesn't necessarily make you the best. It just makes you smart.
No, exactly. Because again, I don't know shit about chemicals and stuff, but I can make paint shiny as fuck, you know?
Right.
I don't say that makes me the best.
That's another thing, too. A lot of these detailers, and not people, but detailers, think they're fucking scientists, think they're chemists, think they know it all. Right. Because they ask for a fucking SDS sheet. Ooh. Right. I don't know what the fuck goes into ceramic coatings. I mean, I will do my due diligence and do my research as far as I can understand.
Right, exactly. And I'm the same way. When I'm thinking about using a new product, I want to go and talk to the person that is pushing said product. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask them questions because, again, I don't want to just jump on the bandwagon because everybody else is jumping on it.
Right, like graphene.
Right. Well, not even that, dude. Just everything that new that comes out that, you know, is the flavor of the week kind of deal. I mean, it happens all the time. You know, I mean, one of a product that has become a favorite of mine was, to me, I feel, a flavor of the week. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, everybody was like, oh my God, I got to have this product. I got to have this product. I got to have this product. And it's still out there. It's still performing well, but you don't hear the hype about it as much anymore. Or at least I'm not. And I use the product. So, you know, I'm not going to.
It's a saying that I heard, and it's pretty ironic where I heard it from. I heard it in a Slipknot song. Okay. And when I heard it, I was like, damn, that shit's true. And the saying was, old doesn't mean dead and new doesn't mean best.
Right.
And that, I think, goes a long way in our industry because, like you just said, you don't hear about that product that you use like you did when it was first released.
Right.
And who knows, how long ago was it released? Do you remember?
It's O'Burke. I mean, I'll tell you. It's O'Burke. Okay. I mean.
So that was about, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, a year and a half ago. Yeah.
Right. So in our industry, because it's so fast moving, that's considered an old product now.
Right.
But it being old doesn't mean that it's dead. It still works and it still fucking does what it's supposed to do.
But what I'm saying is it's like, okay, so O'Burke was the new hot product a year and a half ago. Everybody jumped on it. Right. Right. So just because it's old now, and I'm not saying everybody's jumped off of it, but you just don't hear the hype about it anymore. And people aren't still like, oh man, O'Burke's killing it on this. O'Burke's killing it on that. But now, you know, product whatever is out. Now everybody's like, yeah. You know, the murmurs are all over the place. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But that's what I'm saying. Like, before I'm going to just jump on because everybody else is jumping on it, I'm going to go ask questions. I'm going to talk to some of these people who have jumped on it. Like, hey, what did you really think about it? And I try to ask people that have a little bit of knowledge in the industry because I know I'm going to get honest feedback versus the person that is just wants to hype it to sell it. You know?
Right. And that's honestly what I try to make Pain Assassins for.
Right.
We don't hype shit up.
No.
You know, we just will tell you, hey, you know, this is good. You should use it. If something new comes out, we try it. We're like, all right, this is good. You should use it or you should try it. If you like it, then you should keep it in your arsenal. If not, it's not a big deal. We ain't losing any money over this.
Right. You know, you're not being paid or the people in the – well. Some of them aren't being paid to go on Pain Assassins and say, use this product.
We're not trying to be the cool detailer on social media.
Right.
We're not trying to be the guy who is flashy or, you know, wants to look the part. Like, we are the part.
Right.
So.
I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. So let me ask you, let me throw a question out to you. Because this is one that I think we've talked about, and this is one that kind of gets me, is how do you know that a coating has failed?
I don't know. Dude, I've asked questions like, I've asked coating companies and people who represent those companies, like, how do you know when you strip a coating that it's completely off?
Right.
Because I don't know that. Because when you're stripping a coating, whether if it's wet sanding or compounding, you can ruin the integrity of the clear coat if you go too far. So right. You should know when is it off? When is it truly off? Coating is invisible to the eye, so we don't know. We can't see. Yeah, right. You could probably use a gauge and measure it and shit, but that's just going to, you know, it takes a long time. I mean, I really don't even know what a coating looks like after it's removed or what it should look like. No one's given me that answer. So hopefully if somebody is listening to this, you can reach out to me and tell me, let me know. And I'll give it a try and see if I can actually see it. But as far as your question goes, how do I know when a coating fails? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I would honestly probably say when the hydrophobics are not there anymore. But again, when you say, hey, the hydrophobics aren't here anymore, all the coating company is going to say, oh, no, it's still good. It's still protecting. You just need to top it.
Right.
Which, you know,
well, makes sense. Right. And that is true because I have heard from a few people and I believe I've even read it that the hydrophobic layer is the first layer to go on a coating.
Right.
It will go a year or two, you know, but that doesn't mean that the coating itself
right
is gone. So
what I think it comes down to is like we're not scientists and we're not chemists. The right. people who design these coatings are the chemists and they're the scientists. So it's up to us to take their word and trust their word on it, basically. Right. I mean, if right. somebody says a coating lasts 5 years or 4 years, well, if properly taken care of, all right, cool. That's what I'm going to tell the customer. But as far as these lifetime things go, I call bullshit on that because nothing lasts a lifetime.
Right. Well, and the reason why I asked this is because it was asked to me the other day. And then the other question that was asked to me is so what do you, like, let's say you've got a...
Sorry. dropping dog treats everywhere.
That's fine. Let's say you've got a client that comes in with a car and they said, hey, you know, I took it to so-and-so and they put coating whatever on it. But I don't think it's doing a good job. I don't know, you know, whatever. And they want you to remove it and replace it. So how do you know how to remove it? What do you remove it with?
So and I didn't
even know if you've removed it enough that when you're putting the new coating on, that the new coating is going to even bomb.
Okay. So I removed a coating before. I think it was like G-Technic or something. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's G-Technic. And what I noticed is when I was compounding it up, I could see like it was kind of leaving a haze kind of to it. And I would wipe that off and then I would compound the same area again and that haze was no longer there. I don't really know if that really, you know, took the coating off or not, but it did that throughout the whole car. So what I was seeing was, okay, I'm compounding, it's turning hazy. I wipe it off, I compound it again, the haze is no longer there. So I must be doing something,
right?
You know? And then I recoated the car and I had no problems recoating the car, whether it be high spots or the coating not like leveling right or anything like that. It was just a nice smooth surface to it. So I've heard that G-Technique is one of the easier coatings to remove.
Right.
I've called a couple of details and hey, I gotta remove this coating. It's G-Technic and how would I do this? And they said, well, just use a microfiber pad and some compound. And that's the only coating I've actually had to remove.
Right.
But I now, do want. Go ahead.
No. I was gonna say because I mean I guess maybe it depends on the chemical mixture of the coatings because, you know, according to some people, some coatings wash off with soap and other coatings need to be wet sanded off.
Yeah. And that's where the scary part comes in. That's why I want to know how you know when it's taken off. So, yeah. I mean, if a chemical company's chemist said, you know, all you need to do is wet sand it with 3000 grit and you're good. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Right. That's a problem, though, I think, right, is
So a lot of the people that we're dealing with are the distributors, right? The distributor's job is just to make money. They're the salespeople, right? They're just, look, our coding does A, B, C, and D. Give me your money. I give you the coding. You go and charge whatever you want to charge. Everybody's happy, right? But there's not really a lot of access to the chemist, right? Like you can't go call up the chemist of, you know, whatever coding, just insert coding name here, right? You can't go call that chemist and be, you know, and have FaceTime with them or one-on-one time with them. So we kind of have to just take it, what, second hand, third hand, maybe even fourth hand information, because the chemist is telling the person who owns the company, they're telling the marketing department's telling distributors, whatever. So that's where I think it gets real hard. And, you know, and again, I mean, I don't have a lot of calls for removing coatings or even having to worry about it, but it was a question that another detailer asked me yesterday, actually. And cause he was curious, and I told him, you know, pretty much the same thing that, you know, you're telling me, you know, you just gotta hammer down on it and hopefully you're removing enough of it without damaging clear coat. And hopefully your new coating will stick to it and everything's hunky dory.
And I think, so you got distributors for companies and you got trainers for companies. Sometimes the distributor is the trainer also.
Right.
I feel like the trainers of these companies need to be an extension of the chemists.
Yeah.
They need to be the ones that, you know, detailers can contact and be like, hey, you know, I ran into this problem. What can I do? Because I see a lot of this sometimes where people go to trainings and, you know, they can't get a hold of a trainer sometimes, you know, and then they have to go to other outlets. I feel like it needs to be more structured.
Right. And really the trainer is just somebody who is trained by the distributor to, you know, now you're a trainer. I mean, whatever kind of deal. And again, there's some great companies out there that their people do know, you know, their stuff, and that's awesome. I commend them. But I think there's just too much of it just being pushed out, and nobody has a...
Well, some of these companies hire people who can generate money.
Right.
You know, they'll be like, oh, well, this person has a good social media following. I'm going to hire him or her as a trainer. And then, they, you know, they'll attract people to come do our trainings.
Right. And again, but everybody does that, right? I mean, if you're an influencer, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're selling, you know, these companies say, oh shit, you've got a lot of followings. You know what? Hey, how much is it, you know, for you to make a post using our product? Because they know 1 million people, 2 million people, 10 million people are going to see that. And, you know, even if they get a small percentage of it, it's worth it for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. At the end of the day, it's all business for everybody, right? It's business for us. It's business for the distributors. It's business for the companies. And we're all just trying to keep everything above the line, right? As far as, you know, we want to be in the black.
You know? Yeah, but that shit can shoot you. They can shoot themselves in the foot. I'm saying, like, you can hire somebody who's a pretty face or somebody who has a good following on social media, but, you know, half of them probably won't even know what the fuck they're talking about when they're talking.
Right.
It's like, why did I just pay $700 for 3 days to listen to somebody tell me something I already know?
Yeah.
It's like a cutthroat industry. It really is.
It is. I mean, but it's even cutthroat down to us as detailers. I mean, we're constantly trying to, you know, either badmouth the next person or undercut the next, and not all of us, but there are. I mean, it's a huge industry. I mean, you think about, you know, professional detailers, you know, and I want to use the term professional because, you know, if you say detailers, right? Like, you know, Marty asked me this question the other night, and I don't know that I got it fully right. Like, what makes us a detailer? What is detailing, right? So, I mean, because I get clients that say, well, I just need a detail. Okay, well, like what? What do you, inside, outside? Like what level of interior, what level of outside? Because I think there's so many people that are, you know, quote unquote detailing or detailers. And a lot of it can be that $25 mobile guy or the $2,000 ceramic guy, right? I mean, we all fit in that umbrella of detailing. So that's where I like to use, you know, the quote unquote professional, you know, especially when I'm talking to people, I tell them, well, I'm a little bit different. I'm a professional detailer. Mm-hmm. I've been trained. I've learned, I've studied, whatever. That's why my services are what they are and cost what they are versus the mobile guy that's going to show up. And not even just the mobile guy, but there's some shop guys, you know, that just pop up and they're cranking stuff out for $50 or $25 or $100 or something like that. So, you know, I think everybody's cutthroat in a sense. I mean, you kind of have to be to survive.
Yeah, least. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I absolutely get it. And it's like another thing was people who try to separate themselves away from other people who might not be in the same place as them. It could be business wise, it could be life, finances, whatever have you. You know, it's like if I drove a Porsche and you drove a Honda Civic and I said, I don't want to associate with you because you're not on my level because you don't drive a Porsche.
Right.
I think that's fucking bullshit for one, because there are people in the industry who say that say, you know, I don't want to fuck with you because you're not on my level or you don't have the same goals as I do. Me and you are totally two different people, right?
Right.
You have different goals than I do. You know, we both have our own businesses.
Right.
And I obviously have a brand to run and you have a business to run and also a podcast. Like, you're not the same person as Marty. You're not the same person as Rennie. No. And all three of you have podcasts. All three of you, right, bring a different style to the podcast industry or whatever. Right. But anyways, I feel like somebody who says that about anybody is ignorant, because even though if I drive a Porsche and you drive a Civic, I'll still fuck with you.
Right.
You know,
because
right, you might have a different mindset on things than I do. And right, just because we have different goals doesn't mean, you know, we're on a different level.
Right. And that's kind of the thing too. So like, I mean, people that say that, right, they're probably not in the same category as some of their clients, right?
Yeah.
But their clients either A, tolerate them because they do good work, or B, are actually friends with them. I mean, I'm that way. I mean, I've got clients that, you know, just have stupid money to burn.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got one client, I coat a car for him every single year because he gets bored. And these aren't cars that everybody can afford. I mean, they're $150,000 plus cars. He could probably easily afford stupid money cars, but he's smart. He's a racer. He buys stuff that he can go and trash on the track for a year and get bored of it and sell it and get something else. He's not going to go buy a $200,000 or $300,000 car that, you know, you put in an air bubble in a garage and can never.
Hey, look at my car.
right, exactly.
It only has fucking 1,000 miles on it.
Right. And then I've got another client that has both, right? He has the race car and he has, you know, the McLaren that he drives on the weekends here and there or whatever. And they become really good clients of mine because not only because I do good work, but because we have similar interests. We're good people. You know, and again, my Evo doesn't compare to their McLaren or their Audi R8 or their Ferrari 488 or whatever. But you know what? They've invited me out. I've seen them out at restaurants and had conversations with them outside of just being a detailer. When they come to my shop, it's, you know, hey, how's Michelle? How's Haley? Like, they know my family. They know what's going on. So I don't, I think that's kind of, like you said, I think that's very ignorant or just small minded when people say that.
It is. At the end of the day, dude, like, we might not have the same goals, but you know what we do have in common with our goals is that we want to excel. We want to succeed.
Right.
So that's all that should matter.
Right.
I don't give a shit if you have fucking $10 in your bank or $10,000 in your bank. You know, right. That does not matter to me.
And I'll be the first one to admit, ain't nobody got my goals.
Nobody has mine either.
Because these guys are out there killing themselves, working 18, 24 hours to get cars done. And we've discussed this, and you even called me out on it the other night in the podcast. My ass is going home as early as possible because I want to spend time with my family, hanging out with my daughter and taking her to cheer, you know, having a nice night alone with, you know, Michelle and I actually got lucked out and Haley went and spent two nights or last night and tonight with a friend. So, you know, we'll have a little bit of time to watch TV and be alone. That's way more important to me than cranking away at the shop to make an extra couple hundred bucks or, you know, whatever. And again, that's somebody else's goal is to be at their shop, just cranking and killing it and trying to get to that $1 million a year mark. And hey man, more power to you if that's your goal, but don't call me out or don't call somebody else out that we're not good enough. Because again,
yeah,
maybe spending time with my family is that much more important to me than having a business that does $1 million, which what's my profitability going to be on that? Realistically, you know,
for real.
Yeah. What else you got? We're hitting it.
I know. Right.
We might hurt feelings. So I hope nobody gets upset.
Listen, I'm not hiding anything. If somebody wants to have a conversation with me after this and tell me how they feel, I respect their opinions.
I know.
As I would hope is that they respect mine as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. At the end of the day, I'm going to speak my mind. You know, I think I'm known
for. So here's a question for you, since we're kind of talking about it, is, let me see how I want to phrase this. And not to like be PC or anything, but just to make it understandable. So how in this industry do we try to stay PC, I guess, right? Because that's the big thing, right? Like everybody, and I don't care. I'm guilty of it. I've tried this year to not be as much caught up in the gossip and the drama and the hating and everything. Yeah. But unfortunately it happens. I mean, we're human. We're gonna
gravitate towards it.
Right. We're gonna see something that we don't like or that upsets us, and we've gotta talk with people and vent. But in an industry where everybody does it, why is it that everybody's afraid to call people out on it?
All right, so here's the thing. There's some things that some people should just shut the fuck up about, and I'm very guilty of that myself, and I've made amends with certain people already with my big mouth. But, you know, when something is truly need to be spoke upon, and you do it with a good heart and you do it with good intentions, I feel like the person who's getting – and I don't think you should do it publicly either. I think you should do it privately. That's another big thing too. Don't make it public, because once you make it public, then everybody's going to get involved. People are going to choose sides, and then someone's going to get ruined one way or another. It's not permanently, but, you know, it leaves everybody chattering in the future about everybody. And that's what causes a lot of drama, too, is just open mouths. So do it privately. That's one of the biggest things. But again, do it with a kind heart and do it with a good intention. Like, if you see something that's wrong, like, go to the person and be like, hey, man, I want to talk to you. You know, this is what I think. And it's up to the person whether they're going to respect your opinion or not. And seeing how we're in, like, the snowflake generation, a lot of these people are going to get butthurt. Right. So I think that plays a big part in it too, that we have a lot of snowflakes who think that, oh, you hurt my feelings, now go fuck off. And they hate right. you for the rest of their life or some shit like that. But if somebody can take actual constructive criticism and actually listen, I think that could help a lot also. I take constructive criticism from a lot of people, and it made me think twice about what I want to do compared to what I will do, you know? Right. So that's a thing to keep it PC, you know, politically correct, is to do it privately, do it with good intentions and a good heart. Because as long as you do that, and if the person still gets mad at the end of that, then that's on them. That ain't on you.
Right.
And it's funny too, because, you know, when the people do, and this is the thing that gets me, is so when people do get in their little tissy fits on Facebook and they're bashing each other, but then they go and make a post, you know, kind of like, oh, you know, like I hate when people come at me, or I hate when people say this or whatever. And then everybody in the industry is like on that person's side when everybody's seen the things that they've said or gotten a little tissy fit or whatever. That's the thing that kind of gets me a little bit, is the contradiction in this industry, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think, I mean, obviously, I guess everybody needs to keep it PC, because again, you don't want to burn any bridges. There's so many of these companies that, you know, supposedly can't stand each other, but at the end of the day, you know, they're, you know, hanging out with each other and partying with each other, and word spreads like wildfire. If you, you know, upset the cart on one of them, then you're kind of blacklisted or whatever between all of them.
That's an issue with the company then. If they can't fucking realize that this is a huge industry with multiple choices of what we could use,
right?
Then, like, dude, shut the fuck up and just go about your damn business. Like, who cares what people use? Don't shut if somebody wants to shut somebody out for using something else,
right?
Then, shit, I shouldn't even be a detailer then.
No, I understand. I mean, I told you this. I don't know if you remember, but, you know, 2021, I'm going to try to be a lot better. And I saw this saying on a t-shirt at JCPenney's and in the kids section of all places.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to use it more. And so the saying is more shine and less shade. And I think that fits our business, or our industry, seeing as how we all want to shine. Not only do we want to shine as detailers, we want to shine the cars.
Yeah, it's a double entendre, man.
Right, right, exactly. And I think that there, you know, is a lot of shade being thrown around in this industry, whether it's, mm-hmm. You know, in somebody's face or behind somebody's face or whatever. And people could say,
well, and since you're saying this too right now, I want to get this out of here. Like, me and Alex are not throwing shade at anybody in this podcast. It is just shit that has been on my mind, on right. Alex's mind, and we're just getting it out. Basically, probably saying a lot of shit people want to say themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
I feel like a lot of people who are going to listen to this podcast are going to be like, I'm glad that somebody could agree with what I think, or, you know, fuck these dudes. They suck because I don't agree with them. But hey, and, you know what? Sometimes shit needs to be fucking said.
Right. And at the same time, if you think that we're talking about you, then
you chances are,
then you've got the, well, you've got the God complex, because I'm really not talking about anybody. Bruno might be talking about certain people, but I'm not. I'm talking.
No, man.
I'm talking. I mean, listen, this is 2 or 3 years of God, however many stupid detail groups I'm in. I had to downsize a bunch of them because I was in too many, and it's a, mm-hmm. and it's the same thing over and over and over again, and mm-hmm. and it's just frustrating that, you know. And again, here's another thing that I'm guilty of, but I do it with the podcast because I'm promoting the podcast. But man, I get excited when I see that. Ooh, I got 10 notifications on Facebook.
And it's Christopher Cormie posted a picture in every damn group that he's in.
Well, I only see three groups that he posts in. IGL,
I'm just exaggerating. Okay. I'm exaggerating, but it happens, right? Like you get excited that you see a post, you know, some notifications, like, oh man, some people like my picture, somebody got something to say, and it's somebody just posting in every single group that they're in the same thing, and it's like, oh my god, like, you realize the time that it takes me to have to go through all these notifications, so that doesn't, you know, it's annoying. But that's just my little rant. So,
oh, that's your rant.
Yeah, that's my rant. But again, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it every Sunday night when I post the podcast. So, because I put it in my gears, I put it in every group.
Oh shit! Yeah. So, hey, let me ask you, when a detailer comes and asks you like questions, you've clearly stated that you had a detailer talk to you yesterday about some stuff.
Right.
How do you feel when somebody mentions you as like a mentor?
Oh, dude. So Pam
said, I know, said she mentioned it, you.
Right. Yeah. And again, she didn't really say that I was a mentor, but I did help her out on one thing. And, you know, so here's the thing, right? So like at first I'm like, God, you shut up. Like, I'm not, like, you know, I'm the furthest thing from it. And I have a hard problem with that. I mean, you've been telling me for as long as I've known you now, like embrace it, you know what you're talking about. You're good. You know, stop acting. And I guess it's the, what do they call it? The imposter syndrome. Like, you know, I don't think I'm good enough. I'm afraid that somebody's gonna, you know,
say something.
Figure out that I'm not good. But at the same time, it does give me a little warm feeling in the heart region. You know, it makes me feel good that, you know, if anything, I was able to help that person. Like with Pam, you know, Pam had an undercoating overspray issue, and everything everybody was telling her wasn't working. Everything she tried wasn't working. And I forget what I told her. I think it was clay. I told her, just try to clay it off. Like the easiest, most simplest thing or whatever.
Again, it goes back to our detailer scientists.
Right. And again, I could be wrong. I might've told her something else, but I think it was clay. And she's like, you know, that was like what I was thinking, but I wasn't sure. And I was like, well, what does it hurt? You know, it either works or it doesn't work or whatever, you know, and it worked. And she, you know, thanked me for it. Because everything else that everybody was saying wasn't working, and everything she had tried wasn't working. You know, so even if it's something like that, I mean, Jamal, you know, he calls me all the time, and he's like, you're right. And I'm like, I know I'm right, but what am I right about this time? You know, and he's like you said to do this, and, you know, it worked. You know, thank you. You know, so, you know, there's certain people, like with Jamal, I give him a hard time. But it still makes me feel good, you know, and when somebody who I think maybe is on a level that I am or higher, you know, and they actually come to me and ask me questions or they want my input or whatever, I'm like, what? Like, I mean, I know I'm better than Aaron Knox, but I mean, come on, that's just a title. But yeah, I mean, it's mixed feelings. You know, at first I'm like, why are you coming to me? Like, I could name like more people than I've got fingers and toes for before you come to me. But then again, it makes me feel good. It does make me feel appreciated. It makes me feel like maybe I do know something. So,
you know what I noticed too, since we're coming to a close of this year, seeing how, you know, COVID-19 started pretty much in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Remember how every single person was like trying to do disinfectants and, you know, all these claims about, you know, all these chemicals that can help them destroy COVID-19.
Yeah.
I don't see those anymore. Do you?
No. So I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I mean, we've had this conversation.
There's only one reason.
What's the one reason?
Kill it.
Well, yeah, that, and I think people are just They're done with it. They don't give a shit about it anymore. The only people that care about COVID-19 are the Democrats and the media.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, fuck it. If I get it, I get it. Whatever. I have a 97% chance of living, 98% mm-hmm. chance of living. I'll take those odds is kind of what everybody's mentality is.
Dude, I'm immune to it, so I don't give a shit.
Okay. You are?
Well, yeah. I like to think so, but I got injected with anthrax. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure the antibodies of that will fuck that shit up.
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah.
No, but, dude, I've been in some sketchy situations, man, where it's like, dude, I think I'm gonna catch COVID in this place. And I haven't caught it yet, so
yeah, you know, I think a lot of us as detailers are fairly safe just because of
the shit we use.
Listen, it's not even the shit we use, you're right, like, you know,
you got compound lungs and shit, fucking breathing in acid.
It's not
and
even
all
that, dude. It's getting in people's cars and touching their steering wheels and touching their gear shifters and touching their door handles. I mean,
building an immune system.
And how many of us do that with gloves on?
I never do.
Right. You know? And even if you are that person's like, oh, I wear gloves every time. Okay, so when the client hands you keys and you jump in the car to pull it in your bay, are you put gloves on first? Or you exactly. jumping in, you're grabbing the steering wheel, grabbing the shifter?
Right.
You know, I mean, like, come on, you're already sick at that point. What's the point in putting gloves on? So no, I mean, I knock on wood. I feel, you know, that's the first thing I told everybody that I know, like, listen, man, I've got 25 years of car washing and detailing, you know, in my blood and veins,
yeah.
And, you know, like, I don't,
in my blood, detailing is in my blood.
You know, I think I've got a pretty good immune system to it. I mean, on top of that, when I was a kid, I drank out of the faucet, you know, I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, dude. The hoses and everything.
Yeah, I'm not one of these little prissy kids that can only drink out of the filtered water, you know.
Yeah, I need my Fuji.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh shit, man. So you got the Miami game on in 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, we got 10 minutes. So
they're playing the Seminoles?
No, we already beat the Seminoles. Playing Duke Blue Devils.
Oh, that dude, I forgot that you're an actual Miami fan.
Yeah.
I didn't know those existed anymore.
Yeah, there's a few of us.
They still got the chain gang?
Yeah, there's
turnover
chain number 4 this year, version 4.
With the state behind it, right?
Yeah, it's the state, and then it's got the U, and yeah. Then it's what is it? The state is all green, and then
oh, it's white.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's white
because the U is green.
It's white.
And
it's white, and then Brevard County
is starred.
Palm Bay County or whatever is the green and orange. Yeah.
Right. Dude, how do I know that? And I'm not even a fucking Hurricane fan.
Listen, they not too good with the turnovers this year, it seems. So it hasn't popped out enough for me to have it memorized.
Dude, when was the last time that were relevant? When like Ricky Waters was on there or some shit? Not Ricky Waters.
So the you know 80s and early 90s was our dynasty.
When The Rock played?
Yeah. Rock was actually on the what was it, the 80 I forget what year championship team. He actually has a national championship with the Hurricanes.
So how are the Packers doing? I haven't really looked.
8-3, I think.
Oh, okay. That's pretty damn good, specifically in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, the three games they lost were kind of stupid, but whatever. And they've had some close ones, which is crazy because they started out the gate, like, blowing everybody out of the water, scoring, like, 30 and 40 points, and then all of a sudden it was just like they could hardly get to 25.
Dude, I mean, it's going to be an interesting year this year, dude, because the Patriots are no longer in it.
I know. And the Steelers, what's up with the Steelers? 10-0.
11-0.
I thought it was 10-0.
No, they just won yesterday. They played a game yesterday. Against the Ravens because it got postponed.
That was Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. Dude, why am I thinking it's Thursday? My bad. Damn, my days are wrong.
Normally it is a Thursday game. But they had to play it on Wednesday because NBC wouldn't postpone the lighting of the Rockefeller or the Rockefeller light tree.
Oh, that pitiful tree they got in fucking New York?
Yeah.
That supposedly got destroyed on the way there? That is the poorest excuse for a fucking Christmas tree. And there's a guy on TikTok with one.
Yeah. Scott somebody or other, right?
Yeah. Because he got the Rockefeller Jr.
Yeah. Because who was it? Dang it. The one guy was making fun of him. The GFC guy.
Yes.
GFC guy? I can't think of his name right now.
Dude, I know what you're talking about.
He's hilarious. Yeah, he was making fun of Scott's tree. It was actually a duo. Like, Scott did the duo, so he had the tree in the background kind of thing. Charlie Brown Christmas in New York, man. With that tree.
It's terrible. I watched the Thanksgiving parade. I was like, this is shit.
I don't know.
Like, this is complete fucking shit. I wonder if they're going to have a ball drop with nobody there.
Maybe.
That's crap.
I don't know.
It's crap. I mean, they're going to spend all that money just to fucking get a ball.
Well, I mean, it's already there, isn't it? Like, it's
stable. They do a different one every year.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Dude, I'm always asleep by the time the ball drops.
You are asleep?
Yeah.
God, man, you got to change that this year, man. People need to actually celebrate that 2020 will be over.
Yeah, but then it's going to be 2021. I don't
give a shit how bad 2021 it will be or if it's going to be bad. But listen, we all need to celebrate that 2020 is finally over. It needs to be like,
listen, huge. I blame all this on, I don't want to say millennials. What is it, Gen Z? Is it Gen Z?
Yeah.
Whoever I blame it all on them because they were all like, roaring 20s. We're ready for the roaring 20s.
Yeah, fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't blame the millennials because, you know, we're both millennial. No, you're not. I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're.
I think I'm like Gen X, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like on the border. I'm on the cuff of Gen X, so.
You're an 80s baby?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're a millennial.
I am.
Yeah.
86.
Yeah. God. Fucking baby.
Yeah, what were you doing in 86? Finally figuring out you had a penis?
No, I had figured that out a couple years before that. Dude, 86, I don't know, man. I was skateboarding. I was skateboarding in 86.
I can't picture that. You're a little Tony Hawk?
Pretty much, man. Dude, I had the Tony Hawk bangs, everything.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I had the full on skater haircut, and dude, that was it, man. Every weekend, go hang out with my buddies, and we would skate all over friggin' town, man.
In the streets of Miami.
No, this was up here in Central Florida.
Oh, in the streets of Stanford.
No,
Sanford.
No, it was the streets of Eustis. Actually, I didn't move to Sanford until I was grown. Grown people.
You keep saying Stanford, man. Like, I fucking keep living up north.
Not Stan. You keep saying Stanford. Yeah.
That's what I just said. Stanford, man. Yeah. Like, I live up north again.
Yeah.
I used to go to Stanford all the time, so that's why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It is what it is. But you're about 4 minutes away from your game, so I don't want to keep you any longer, man. So
that's fine. This was going for an hour and a half. I think this was a good what's up or what's on your mind. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope people enjoy it. We will hopefully get back to regular programming next week, as long as people show up. We're asked to be on the podcast. So, and the countdown will begin because I think we're only a couple episodes away from the big one at the end.
I think in these what's on your mind episodes, like after you do your so cool intro, which I really do like, by the way, with your daughter and the cool music and shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You need to put like a warning. Warning, yeah. this might offend the snowflakes.
I probably will, you know, and we talked about it the other day, you know, that I thought about, you know, hey, the views expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of myself or the podcast, but
no, you can't use but, that.
But I threw some stuff out there today, so people, I can't say
that. Yeah, but you can't say this doesn't reflect myself when you're actually on it discussing shit.
Yeah, no, I know. I'll just say the views of Jason Bruno do not express.
You fucking potato.
right. I'll have to put something. I'll have to figure something out. I'm not sure kind of what I want to do with this. I wasn't even sure if I wanted to use the I'm a detailer. I love that song, dude. I really do. I think it ended up coming out pretty good.
Yeah, man. I like it because it's your daughter. And I don't know if a lot of people even know that. I mean, I know that because I heard all the samples and shit.
Yeah.
But I think it's a fucking unique idea. And it's awesome that you incorporated like part of your family into it. I mean, this is your podcast.
Yeah.
You made it original, so shit. I mean, you have an original song. It's not fucking taken off of the, I don't know, what do you, like, you know, those cell phone music songs.
Yeah. No, exactly. No, and I described it for everybody when I first started putting it on. So if people actually listen to it, they might know. But yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, kind of background is, I think it was like 2 years ago, Haley and I were sitting around after school and she was doing homework, you know, and she's like, you need a theme song. And I was like, a theme song? And she's like, yeah. And she just started like spitting bars off the top of her head. I'm a detailer. Waxing's easy for me. Washing cars is easy for me. And I happened to record her because it was cute and it was funny. And then completely forgot about it. And then I don't know what a month ago or whatever before the season two, it came up on my Facebook memories. I was like, oh my God, I've got to use this. This is my podcast song. So I reached out to my buddy Justin, who's the lead guitarist of the band called Fireflight, which is a Christian rock band. They're phenomenal if you want to listen to some good Christian rock music. And I mean, like, I grew up with the kid. I mean, he was lived down the street from me. Like, I taught him how to play guitar. Kid goes off and gets nominated for a Grammy, you know?
Yeah. Thanks, Alex.
yeah, exactly. So I reached out to him and I was like, hey man, like, I've got this, like, could you put music over it or something, you know, like a screaming guitar or just, you know, whatever. And he made that cool beat. And then we had to actually have Haley re-record it because he couldn't take the audio off of the Facebook video. So, you know, I put Haley in her room with the phone and headphones and she re-recorded it. And, I sent it off to Justin and then he actually had his son like kind of sings underneath it. Like you can kind of faintly hear underneath it. And his son's like, I think 5 or 6 or whatever. So like that made me feel good too, because not only was it like mine and Haley's, but it was, you know, one of my best friends growing up put the music to it. And then his son, you know, throwing down kind of very faintly under it. So yeah, and it, you know, and the more I listen to it, because I listen to the podcast, I try to preview them before I put them out there just to make sure that everything sounds pretty decent. And every time I listen to that song, I'm like, damn, man, like Haley's got to come up with some more verses. We need to make it a legit song, but no, man, I think it's an awesome song. I think it's really good. I think Justin did a great job with the beat is kind of very podcasty. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the podcasts I listen to kind of have that same kind of, you know, beat to it, electronic type beat to it or whatever. I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of hoping for a little bit more like screaming guitar in it and whatnot, but I think it came out pretty darn good. So
yeah,
And then the other thing that I like was, you know, and thank you for the idea, was the openings, you know, reaching out to people in the industry. To just record me something quick, you know, hey, you're listening to Detail Solutions Podcast with Alex, you know, kind of deal. And I like that everybody has made it like their own. Like I haven't, you know, like I kind of, some people I kind of say like, hey man, can you say it like the, you know, like here's an idea of what to say, you know, and everybody took it their own way. I mean, you had a really great one. Aaron Knox. Was Aaron Knox?
I'm going to bring it. Listen, Aaron, man, he needs to get a swift fucking kick in the nuts.
Why?
I hope he listens to this. I'm going to talk a lot of shit about him because, listen,
let's go. Kickoff isn't for probably like 10 minutes, realistically.
Yeah, let's just talk shit about him. Let's see if he actually listens.
All right, this is the shit on Aaron Knox segment.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it should be. Maybe the what's on your mind should end with let's shit on Aaron Knox for 5 minutes or so. Come on, let's shit on him. That fucking guy, dude, has the bluest eyes. Like, I just.
I hate his red hair. I hate his red hair and I hate his red beard. And he knows it. I told him that before.
I don't know. You guys were having a pretty questionable beard conversation the other night.
Listen, I'll tell you straight up, having a beard and doing paint correction is awful. Because as soon as you're done, your whole beard feels like a fucking Brillo pad.
Listen, I feel that way with my hair. I mean, like, I could imagine.
Yeah, but your hair sucks.
You can't feel that way with your hair, so you get it in your beard.
Your hair sucks, okay?
It does.
You look like you rolled out of bed every day.
I pretty much do. That's why I keep it short, so I can kind of do, no, they can't see me, but I'm doing one of these roll it forward kind of motions. And
yeah, but the thing is, it's not even moving. It looks like you have two little horns sticking out.
I know, man. It's because I didn't dry it right when I got out of the shower, but I make anyway. I make it presentable for when I need to see clients, but any day I'm not seeing clients, like, the fuck do I care? I've already got the wife, man. Who am I trying to impress?
You were damn right about that. I'll tell you.
Yeah. All right, back to shitting on Aaron Knox. We're getting off topic.
I don't know what it's even. You are definitely better than him. That's a given, and everybody should know that. I'm pretty sure Aaron Knox has a small penis because he's a redhead. And that's how, just, you know, I'm pretty, like, he has a tough exterior, but he's a little cupcake. He's soft in the middle. He is soft in the middle.
He reminds me of a pineapple, right?
Yeah.
I know how you feel about pineapples, but dude, he reminds me of a pineapple. He's tough and thorny on the outside, but he's sweet and sugary on the inside.
You about to say juicy?
I wasn't. I said sweet and sugary.
No, I'm gonna tell everybody right now who's listening. So me and Alex are on a Zoom call, and I can see his face. You can see mine. His lips look like it was about to say juicy. His lips turned into
sugary.
Alex thinks Aaron Knox is juicy.
This part will be all edited out. Say whatever you want.
Oh, well, all right, man. It was awesome fucking doing this, man. Yeah. I definitely want to do it again. Shit, I'll be a co-host and we'll just fucking slam people.
That's fine. We'll do that. It'll be the what's on your mind with Jason and Alex.
Yeah, man. Let's fucking do it, dude. Let's get it.
Cool. All right. Well, all right, man. We'll figure it out.
Yes, sir. Have yourself a good night. Thanks, and man. Go Duke.
Fuck you. That part's definitely getting edited out.
All right, man. Later.
I'll talk to you later. See ya.